good to see everybody that's made it out here this morning. Always enjoy coming here, and you make us feel so at home, and always have good meetings here too. And we'll be preaching from the book of Mark this morning, Mark chapter 9. I don't know why the Lord has laid this message upon my heart. I know that you record messages and on the internet, and you make CDs and you set them back there, and that's a good ministry that you do, because folks listen to that. Folks get those and listen to it that will not come to this church, that will not come and sit under this church for whatever reason. A lot of them go to different churches and they can't come to this church or I go to or some other church because of family tradition and old pride and things like that. But they'll hide. I know they do, because the lady up church takes our CDs and gives them to folks that just sit there and wait till they can get home and they get our CDs. Not that we're some great somebody, but they listen to them. And you never know where these things go. But I don't know why the Lord laid this message upon my heart in Mark chapter 9. And I've really sat here the whole service scratching my head. God, do I know your mind today? Do I know what you want me to preach? Do I know where you want me to go? And he's burdened me all week for this church to preach this message here. Maybe to give you a burden for somebody, or maybe for you to help somebody or witness to somebody, or no doubt for you in some way. Who can tell the mind of God, Brother David? I don't know the mind of God, and God knows what his word, where it needs to go and who needs to hear it. And I very rarely preached a message from what I'm going to preach today, but he's burdened me. So I'm in the book of Mark. I'm in chapter 9. I'm in verse 42. The Bible says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me," Jesus said, "it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." Lowly, mild, meek Jesus said it'd be better that you had a millstone. Now, a millstone was a large circular granite stone that they used to grind up the meal with there, and they would get oxen and different things to pull it. Very, very thousands of pounds, very heavy piece there. So could you imagine having that tied to your neck and thrown out in the ocean somewhere? You ain't going to go very far. Verse 43, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." That's the second time he said that. "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out." That's not pull it out or cut it out. That's pluck. That's take a needle and stick in and pluck it out. He said, pluck it out. "It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire the third time, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Jesus, leading up to this discourse here in Mark chapter 9, if you start reading this chapter, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the Son of God goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. You're going to see up there, that Jesus becomes transfigured there before their eyes and puts on his glory and his raiment, the Bible says, is so white and shiny that Mark records here that not even a fuller, nothing on earth could get it that white. And Peter, brother, didn't know what else to say. The rest of them was just in awestruck like you and I would have been. And the Bible said Peter, not knowing what else to say, said, "Lord, let us build 3 tabernacles here, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for thee." But Jesus, listen, they came down from the mountain. Jesus said, "No, that's not what we're going to do, for the Son of Man came." Listen, he came to die for all humanity. And Jesus began to talk to them about how that he was prophesied in the Scriptures, how that he must suffer and die and raise again the third day. They still didn't get that in their hearts and in their minds. He told them this over and over and over, but they still didn't get it. So immediately after coming down from this Mount of Transfiguration, we see a great multitude gathered. A many big big crowd is gathered at the bottom of the mountain. And the scribes and the Pharisees are there, and they're with his disciples. And there's a little man there that brought his son there. And listen, and he brought his son to the disciples that he may help his son. He said, my son hath a devil. He said, and oft times, he said, he throws himself into the fire, and oftentimes into the water. And Jesus said, how long has he had this? He said, since he was a child. And he said, I can't do anything with him, Lord. And your disciples can't do anything. Now all this multitude is there watching this. And Jesus looked at them and listen, he rebuked their faith because they couldn't do anything about that. And Jesus said, where's the boy? And then Jesus said, do you believe to the man? He said, Lord, I believe. He said, but help thou my unbelief. And that's my problem sometimes. Lord, I go to pray. Oh, Lord, I know you can work this out, God. But help me that I can't sometimes see how that you're going to work things out. Help me, Lord, in my unbelief. And the Bible says that Jesus, he didn't even say anything in one place. But the demon, recognizing who he was, rent and tore out of the boy. And the man said, have compassion on me. Then they leave from there. Now straight from there, let me tell you how depraved and wicked our hearts is. These disciples couldn't do a thing with this boy. And immediately the next thing we see is they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. They couldn't do anything with this boy. You'd think they'd been walking around kicking the can, looking low, but no, they're sitting there arguing about who's going to be the pastor, who's going to be the chief deacon, and who's going to sing the songs, and who's going to be the trustees in the church, and oh, I got to be seen, and Jesus knows this. So they get to a place, and Jesus said, hey boys, what were y'all talking about out there? And they looked around because they was ashamed of their self. That's the way we get sometimes. Somebody gets up and preaches or says something and you say, well, that hit me right there because that's where I've been living. So Jesus, look at what he did. He got him a little child and he brought it up to his lap. He said, listen, you got to come into the kingdom of heaven. You got to be like one of these little children, humble. And the Bible says here in verse 41, he said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. He said, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose his reward. Now he's got this little child sitting up in his lap. And then he goes to talking about hell is what he goes talking about. Now I'm going to preach this morning if the Lord will bless me. And I said all that what I said before to build up, listen, to get the setting of what Jesus is talking about here. Hell is a real and serious place this morning. I believe if God, listen, was to lift up the lid of hell this morning and let mankind just get a 3-second vision, listen, we'd have to knock the wall out of this church. We'd have to knock it out that way and that way. We'd have to expand the kitchen. We'd have to set up chairs in the parking lot and up the hill. They'd be coming out of the windows of the nursing home at Shelby Valley, up and down the highway, just to listen to hear a message of how to get saved, to avoid this awful place called hell. Hell's a serious place. Listen, Jesus preached 33 times more on hell than he did anything else. Hell is used as a byword in our society. People say, I'm going to hell. I'll have a party. I'll go to hell. I'll do this. And hell is nothing but a curse word. But never once will you find Jesus, the Son of God, ever joking or laughing about a place called hell. And he's got this little child up in his lap. And he said, it'd be better for you. I could see him looking at him stern. I could see him looking at him stern with his eyes of love. And I could see him saying, it'd be better for you. Listen, that a millstone would be tied around your neck. Listen, than to cause one of these little ones to offend. I'm going to tell you, it'd be better for me that I was never born. It'd be better for me that I never asked her to call to preach than to be a stumbling block and cause somebody to trip over into hell. This is serious business this morning, people. And I would to God that we could get a hold of this and get a burden for the lost people. Listen, the Bible's filled of all kinds of examples and all kinds of people who were stumbling blocks for people to go to hell. One of them was a man that worked in the church by the name of Korah, who God had put him there and gave him a good thing to do and a good job. But oh, listen, this just makes my stomach turn thinking about the depravity of our heart and how wicked our sinful nature is. But oh, Korah, the Bible says, he said, I want to get lifted up. I want the job. And God, listen, Moses went to God, and God said, I'm going to do a new thing tomorrow. He gave him time to repent. He said, I'm going to cause the earth to open up and swallow that rebellious crowd. And Korah and all the mighty chief men that were with him went on into hell. He's a stumbling block for them people. There's a little verse in our priest not too long ago in the book of Numbers. It's just one little sentence. It said, but the sons of Korah did not. They didn't follow their daddy. Hey, son, listen, there's some. You take a 38 pistol and cause granddad told them this, or mama told them this, and they may have been good and all meaning, but listen, you preach the Bible, take a 38 pistol, they ain't going to change their mind. A religious lie getting a hold of you, I'm telling you. It's the best people blows themselves up on religious lie. And their conscience don't condemn them. Their conscience don't convict them. See, because your conscience has got to be trained. You train your children. Don't steal that. Don't you play well with that. You do this. You do that. Listen, we train our children's conscience. Our conscience was trained one way or the other when we was a child. And that's the way they do with their little children. They train them up in their conscience certain ways. So when the world says, follow your conscience, toss that out the window and follow thus saith the word of the Lord. But Jesus said it'd be better. You just be cast out there than to be a stumbling block for somebody to trip over you in your old lifestyle and go on into hell. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He said, you go to compass about land and sea, sneaking a proselyte, and you make him twofold more the child of hell. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you make the outside clean, but the inside is dirty. It starts with the inside and not the outside. And there's people in our community today, don't go, you got to go right here to our church. Do things our way. And people listen because of family pressures and social pressures and whatever else. They'll don a certain dress and they'll look a certain way. They'll sing a certain way and have some certain talk. But inside, listen, they ain't bit more saved as a fruit gnat. Their life ain't changed. And listen, and if they get born again by the blood of the Lamb, hell will be their home. That's right. We don't want to be a stumbling block. Do you know you can be a stumbling block to yourself? Look what he says right here in verse 43. He said, if thy hand offend thee, he said, cut it off. He said, cut it off. He said, listen, if the things that you're doing with your hands, things that you're doing with your hands, if it's causing you not to come and serve God, if that drink of liquor, if that dope, or whatever it is to do, you'll not tell people, you'd be better off, honey, just to stick your hands in a grind mill and go around with two knobs and live for God than to keep living the way you are and go to the awful place called hell. That's right. You can go to your feet too, places you go. Hey, some people, I just can't quit doing this and can't quit doing that. Jesus said you'd be better off cutting it off, honey. You'd be better off cutting it off and walking around with a limp or walking around in a wheelchair if that's what it took. Listen, then to go into hell with two. Then he said, where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched. Here's the setting here where Jesus is at. He's holding this little child. He's in Capernaum. Straight up from Capernaum is a place called the Valley of Hinnom. In the Old Testament, they'd taken the Valley of Hinnom and they did child sacrifice there. Ahaz, that was Hezekiah's father. King Manasseh, they set up a big bronze god there called Molech. You've heard of that before. And Molech, inside of him, he was hollow. And they'd fill him full of wood and coal and sulfur. And they'd heat him up. And down that valley, they'd take their little children. And they'd have these real big drums. And they'd beat on the drums. And the woman would take her child down there, and the daddy would take her child. And they would take that child and throw it down on their arms. That God, that sizzling arm, that furnace. That's how wicked and depraved our humanity is. We do the same thing in our country today. They get 9 months old. We'll pull them out, stick scissors in their head, suck their brains out, throw them in a garbage. That's offering children up to Molech. That's just godless and wicked at what they did there. But listen, they threw little babies on that furnace. They'd sizzle and scream and sizzle. They'd beat the drum. To drown at the cry, all the screams of the mommies and daddies as their babies was being burned alive. Jesus was holding his little child up in his arms and says, telling us, overseeing sin, the valley of Hinnom. Now after Josiah became king and Hezekiah, they said that place is wicked. So they turned it into a great big gulf, a big garbage dump. What they turned it into, and it was called Gehenna. That's what it was called. When Jesus says hell, the word that he's saying here is Gehenna. And what they did, they would take their garbage from their city, dead, rotten carcasses, dead animals, and they would throw them into this place. And it had real steep sides, listen, and jagged rocks hanging out. And they would take to the valley through the Dung Gate there in Jerusalem, and they would throw their garbage, a dead body, a slave that died, and throw him over in there. They'd set little fires with sulfur. That's the image. Jesus knew that they knew this. And he's telling them this as he's holding this child. Oh, and the stench would come out, and the maggots that would roll around, and the body, the burned bodies, and it just rats would crawl out. And Jesus said, it'd be better for you, listen, than to go to hell where the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not. That's right. He said, you better pluck your eye out. He said, it'd be better for you if you can't keep looking at nasty things, if you can't keep from your eyes from reading things, if you can't keep your eyes off of these things, Jesus said, it'd be better for you to just take a needle and stick it in and pluck your eye out and walk around with a patch over or two patches over and to go into hell with two good eyes where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched. That's right. Jesus loves us. That's why he's telling us this. Oh, 5 times in the Bible, Jesus said this. 5 times. He said, where there'll be weeping, and where there'll be wailing, and where there'll be gnashing of teeth. I'm going to tell you, hell is a serious, and hell is a real place this morning. People say, I go to hell, I'm going to smoke my dope. I'm going to live like I'm in fornication. I'm going to do all these things. No, you're not. You're going to be in torment. You're going to be in torment, utter torment, like you never experienced before, because you've turned away the Son of God. Jesus said in the book of Luke, you've heard this before, he didn't say that it was a parable either. He said, there was a man, a rich man. There was. And he didn't die and go to hell because he was rich. All through the Bible, God, listen, blessed people with have means, and God blessed them that they could take their means and use to help the church and use to further the kingdom of God. That ain't why he went to hell. And the old boy that died named Lazarus that lay at his gate, full of sores, he didn't go to heaven because he's poor. Listen, we got just as much wickedness in the poor people as we do in the rich people. That ain't why he went. Listen, but the Bible says that in hell, and who would know this more? Who could tell you a first-hand account more than the Son of God? They'll run down to buy books down here at the bookstore, and all these said this man went to hell, and that man went to hell. Jesus said in Luke 16, the very Son of God that created hell, he's giving you a first-hand account of what hell is all about. You don't need no other book. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, not torment, in torments. And sin, listen, sin, Lazarus lay in Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a type of terminology, a type of language for the paradise of God to the Jew. So when he seen this old boy laying in Abraham's bosom, he seen him in the paradise of God. And he's on fire of hell. And his tongue is swelled out and parched. And his flame is eating him up. And he's got his memory about him. He's got his hearing about him. He's hearing the weeping and the wailing. And the gnashing of teeth. He's got his sight about him. He can see the awful flame. He can see the gulf straight across. He's still in every torment. And worst of all, maybe he's got his memory.
Amen.
And he said, Father Abraham, I just want a drop. One drop to cool my parched. Cool my parched, aching, swelled up tongue. Not going to happen. There's a great gulf fixed, he said. He said, he can't go to you. Listen. He said, but Lord, listen. He said, go warn my five brothers. Not one time this man ever repent of nothing. He said, but go warn my five brothers that they don't come into this awful place. I believe in hell, Brother David, right now. I believe in hell. They're screaming out and they're crying out. Oh, I don't want my lost family members there because they're weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth all around them. And no doubt they're crying and screaming and begging for the mercy of God. But the mercy of God is extended to them. No further. The lid's been shut and they're in hell. That's right, this morning. The Bible says, listen to what I believe. There's a man dies and go to hell. Listen, now this is true, folks. This is true. I believe a man walks along here in the world today, somewhere, and his chest is starting to feel a little tight and heavy. I believe he's walking along and maybe he get a little numbness down his arm. He said, he said, this is something I ate. I believe that he walks along. He gets a little shortness of breath, maybe. And I believe he might go down. And all of a sudden, listen, all of a sudden, he feels a sensation that he's falling. He's falling, he's falling, he's falling. Down a pit. And he's got no control over his falling. You see, you when you die, you don't have no control. When you die, you don't have no say-so. You're in another world. Your eyes are being opened up to something that you heard about. Something people preach to you about. But I believe this man's falling. And as he's falling, he's hearing the screams and the weeping and the wailing. And he feels, listen, the flames about his body. And he's falling and he's falling and he's falling. And one gnashes upon him. And he gnashes upon them. And he tries to cry out. But nobody hears him. Nobody cares in hell. There's no mercy in hell. There's no long suffering in hell. And he falls and he falls and he falls. And he's shocked. And he ended up in this place. This awful place called hell. Now some will tell you that if you die and go to hell, that you'll just burn up. Cannot be. When God made Adam and Eve, He breathed into them the breath of life. And every one of us here today, we got a body, a soul, and a spirit. And what flows through us, as David said before, listen, is the God knowledge. There is a spirit in a man. It's a human spirit which gives the inspiration of God Almighty. It's what Job said. And the Bible says, that, listen, what God breathed into, not one part of God can die. God's eternal. So because God breathed His breath into us as the human race, this body may die, but that soul that we have, that real us, it'll not die. It'll live on and on and on. Well, somebody will say, why do I have to be inflicted with the pains and the fires of hell? I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, when He hung upon the cross, He suffered in His body. He suffered in His soul. And He suffered in His spirit. And in hell, you'll suffer in your body. You'll suffer in your soul. And you'll suffer in your spirit. All triune being of you. In hell, tumbling over and over. Trying to pay your penalty. Trying to pay your debt. Bible says they whipped Jesus, and you've heard that. Beaten, battered Him. His business was marred more than any other sons of men.
His body was broke. Listen, and cut down, and no doubt no picture can give an accurate account. I believe he was disfigured. I believe his beard was plucked out. I believe his eye may have been hanging out. I believe just meat just hang off of him. I believe he looked awful. But listen, as he hung upon the cross, listen, his soul was vexed. And at one minute, now think about this, not at one time, he didn't even wish to come down off the cross. He didn't have to wish. Think about the determination of the Son of God willingly lay there. You ever been through something and you knew at one point in time you could stop it at any time? He could have stopped it at any time. Not even the thought. Think about that. Not even the thought of stopping that awful crucifixion. He didn't even go through his mind. And as he hung there, tortured, God pouring out hell, your hell, upon him upon the cross. The Bible says, and Dave already alluded to that, that the earth became black for a period from 12 o'clock unto 3 o'clock. I've talked to them about this last week in the sunrise service. God uses Jesus, the pictures of the Lamb in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament sacrifice as a picture of what God the Father and God the Son. What did John the Baptist say? He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. Now listen to this. Listen, now pay attention right here. Get this. The Bible says in the Old Testament, God required a lamb to come out of the family's home. It was a lamb of 1 year old. That lamb was born. Listen what that man would do. Now think about how you love your little animals, your little cats and your little dogs. This little family, they'd raise this little lamb up as a little baby. And they would take care of it. They made sure it never got a spot or blemish. They fed it good. They kept it clean. They made sure its eyes was clean. And God said at the end of that year, they had to take that little lamb and they had to take it down to the temple. I could see them walking, David, with them right there in his little arms. And I could see his little eyes looking up at them and they were petting it. And then they walk into the gate right there and there stands the high priest. And they take that lamb and reach it over to that high priest. And when they do, they turn around and walk away. That's what Jesus did for you on the cross. God said, here's my lamb. He handed him over into the hands of sinners. And God turned his back. And when they turned their back, that priest would take a knife and cut its throat in the blood. I would pour out, no doubt, that lamb would squeal out. That lamb would cry. And the man, the family that brought the lamb would say, oh God. Oh God, why does it have to be this way? Because God said that's how wicked and horrible your sin is before me. And God shows us these pictures. He just don't do this so we can have some kind of history lesson to read. He ties it all together. And Jesus talks about this. And he took your hell and my hell on the cross. Brother Dave, Brother Tim, your kids ever been sick and you cry out and you can't a thing you can do for them. Ain't a thing, or going through something, ain't nothing you can do for them. And they might cry and they might weep and you say, Lord, I wish I could do something to help my kids. I wish I could do something to get to them. Or have they ever called you and they being upset and crying? And you say, that's how I get there as quick as I can. They try to help my kids. I want you to think about this, dying and going to hell this morning. I want you to think about dying, Brother Tim, and you're in hell. The Bible says they weep, they wail, they cry out, and they gnash teeth. They gnashed teeth on Stephen right there in the book of Acts. I believe they really gnashed upon him. What's that mean? I believe they beat him. I believe they gnashed him with their teeth. I believe they said hateful, hurtful things with their teeth. And Jesus said they're going to weep, they're going to wail, and they're going to gnash at teeth. Could you imagine being in hell, living wicked as you can be? And listen, you're going into hell and you're falling and you're burning and you're hearing screams. But of all the million screams, you hear the scream of your little child. You hear the scream of your wife. You hear the scream of your husband that you wouldn't witness to, that you wouldn't pray for, that you never got a burden for. Listen, there you are. You never got concerned about yourself. Now you're listening to add to your misery and your torment through all eternity. You got to hear their cry. And you can't help them. You can't get to them. If you're listening to this on the tape somewhere, listen, it applies to you. I don't care what somebody says. I don't care what nobody says. Hell is a real place. But that ain't the worst part. You're laying there in hell. You're tormenting. You're tormenting and you're falling and you're falling and you're falling. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14 verse 9, and hell hath moved beneath thee to accept you at thy coming. The heaven in Scripture is measured. It's measured out. But hell is nowhere measured in Scripture. The Bible says it enlarges itself to accept that lost soul. And then it closes back up. And then it enlarges itself up to make room for that one another, that one lost soul. And then it closes up. It was never prepared for not one soul sitting in here today. It was never prepared for man. It was prepared for a supernatural being called that devil and all his angels that fell. That's who God created hell for. Listen, but listen, you won't accept the precious blood of Christ. You have to pay for your own sin. And there's only one place that you can pay is eternally in hell. The Bible says you're there and you're falling. And you're falling in the heat. And it's just torments. You see, God has put something in us that we can just go through so much pain and we'll pass out. But not in hell. There'll be no passing out. Not in hell. There'll be no back pain medicine. There'll be no heating pads. There'll be no ice packs. There'll be nothing to soothe you. You'll not pass out. You'll not sleep. Listen, you'll try to cry out. There's no comfort whatsoever. But all of a sudden you're falling there. And then you stop. And an arm begins to raise you up. Raise you up. And as you get pulled up, you see a throne high and lifted up. You've been in hell. I don't know how many years you've been in hell. But you raise up and you see a throne. You look to the east and you don't see the sun. It's gone. You look where Pluto and Jupiter used to be. It's gone. You look to see stars, but you don't see no stars. You look and there you see a throne. You see multitudes and multitudes of people around this throne. Beautiful people. No, not no grannies with their hair gray and teeth and on walkers. No, you see beautiful, young, strong people there in fine robes. And they're all focused and all faces are faced into the throne. And you look up and you look down, but there's nothing above you. There's nothing below you. You're being held up on His own power. And He's holding you up there. And you look upon Him who sits upon the throne, whose face, the Bible says, all nations fled. And you have no excuse. He knows your heart. He knows your motives. You might sit there to yourself and say, oh, what about the hypocrites? But He's going to say, it is written. You're going to say, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to say, it is written. Even the devils in hell, I believe, and shake and tremble. Yet you, I never shook and trembled at my name. And you hang there, naked. There ain't a virtuous woman in this building, I thank God for. You can give $1 million to and they go out here and stand in front of the public butt naked. You couldn't do it, and I thank God. That I thank God for it too. You couldn't get them to do it because it would shame them. It would shame them in front of all everybody. Shame their self. But there before that throne, before all that big crowd of people, multitudes, millions upon millions of people, there you'll be naked. There you'll be in your sin and your filth. I don't know how much hell has disfigured your body or what God has let hell do to you and your body and your visage, but I see you hanging there. And I see you seeing all this. And I don't see you arguing with Him one bit. I don't see you making one statement. I see Him open up a book and lay out before you. I see Him open up a book and lay out before you. And let's say, I hear tonight that your name starts with D, as in David. And I see Him go down, and I see Him look right there and show you where your name could have been. But there's an empty and a blot spot there. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, but I did this in a church and that in a church. But you wasn't born again, and you knew you wasn't born again. And it just was a stench that rose up in the nostrils and the breath of God. And He looks and shows you. And you get judged from these books, these 66 books. And then the Bible says that whether you're going to bow your knee, Adolf Hitler's going to bow a knee and bow his head. He ain't going to argue. He ain't going to do it in rebellion. He's going to do it humbly and submissively. He's going to bow his knee. Everybody that ever lived is going to bow the knee. And out of their mouth, they're going to say this: Jesus Christ, You're Lord of Lords. You're Lord. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Out of hell, into the lake of fire. And you're going to be there throughout all eternity. You can't burn up. See, because you was made in the image of God. You have the breath of God. So you can't burn up. The devil can't burn. God made the devil, made all the angels. Nothing that come out of God can die. Can't. So you're going to be there. And the devils ain't going to be just picking them, tormenting you. They're going to be screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth too. And you're going to be there screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth too. And yet what's going to go through your mind, Brother Davis? All them times, all them little Christmas plays I went and sat. All them times I went with Mommy down on Easter service and sat in that pew and that preacher preached. All them times in funerals I sat and they told me about Jesus. All them times down on the job, the man witnessed to me, and I laughed at him and I mocked him. That's going to be replaying through all your heads. You're going to look across, and I believe you're going to see a gulf. Why is that? Is God just going to do that, just to torture? No, listen. The Bible says that Jesus said right now, listen, take up the water of life, and you'll live. I believe you're going to look out at what you missed, which is that water of life, that cool river of stream flowing, and that you need it on this side, that you refuse to take, that you'll need on that side, but you cannot get to. That's right. And there you'll be. You know, if hell ended a billion years after you was there, I'd never preach on hell. Because there would be light at that end of that tunnel. There would be. But it don't end. And you know what? Your mind can't grasp that. And my mind cannot grasp that. Because everything that we have, it's time-based. We have to be here by such and such time and there by such and such time and go to bed by such and such time. Our life is we live a certain amount of years and ordinarily, and that's a time frame. Everything is time-based on this world. But listen, on the other side, there's no time. It's outside this time domain. It's not controlled by this matter and all this that we live in. It's another world. Another world. The spiritual world. And you're going to have a body. Just like Jesus had a glorified body, you're going to have a body. I don't know what kind it'll be, but it'll be a body, listen, that feels the pains of hell on your flesh, because Jesus felt the pains of hell in His flesh. You're going to feel the pains of hell in your soul, because Jesus felt the pains of hell in His soul. But that ain't the worst. Listen, that ain't the end of it. There's a way that mankind can get out of this awful place called hell. You know, God loves you so much that He'd rather die as for you go to hell. That's right. He'd rather come and die to keep men and women. He'd rather come and die to keep you out of that awful place called hell. That's right. Jesus came, He walked this earth, and He took upon your sin and my sin upon the cross. God poured hell out on Him, so you don't have to have hell poured out on you. You can never pay the price that Jesus paid for you. And for me, and for all everybody that ever lived, Jesus paid it all. The song says, all to Him all. Sin has left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. That's amazing. I believe that's the greatest miracle, Brother Dave, that God has done in His creation. Not hanging out the moon, not making this earth, not making the ocean. The Bible says that God did that with His fingers. But the Bible says for salvation, He took two hands and outstretched His arms for salvation, for you and for me, for wicked, lost, depraved. Even Brother Dave, knowing after we'd be saved, we was going to let Him down. Even though after we'd been saved, we ain't going to be like we ought to be all the time. But we're not what we used to be. I guarantee that. Even though after you get called to preach, you still let Him down. Even though when you get up and sing, you don't do what you ought to do. Even though you don't call a witness and have a burden like He wants you. He still does. He still does. And He died there knowing that there'd be some that ain't going to accept Him at all. Just walk on by. Try to trample on His blood. He still died. He still died for all humanity. Because He loves us. And the sin debt had to be paid. And it was paid there upon the cross. The only way that it could be paid. Before, because sin, man brought sin in the world, and by that last Adam, sin, was took out, and sin was nailed to the cross right there, and the price for that sin was paid. paid in full, to tetelestai, when he said it is finished. It means paid in full. The Bible says in Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, for whosoever shall believe, this shall not be ashamed. I promise you this, but you, if you go to die and go to hell, you stand before him in your shame and in your sin. Oh, the regret and remorse that you're going to have then. Oh, how I wish I'd have done this. Oh, how I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have put away that bitter heart and that old spirit that I had about me, of anger and malice and discontent. I wish I'd have put all that away and come to know him. But it's too late. Can't pray you out of hell. Can't pay you out of hell. It's too late. Ever how you die, the Bible says, ever how you die, listen, for him that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Can't clean you up. Stretch you out here. And how many funerals do we hear? You stretch it out here. Oh, they got this in and that in, that in. Listen, everybody ain't getting in. Everybody don't want to get in. The way to hell is wide. As Brother Dave and them come to sing, I wonder if you're here and you're lost. Right here where you can meet God, right here. But if you're here and you got family members going to hell and you've got a burden for them, here's an altar for you to pray for them.